This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
The golf starts later this morning. Weather's supposed to be an issue over the course of the weekend.
I wouldn't be surprised if you get a golf show on Sundays now.
No, that's too much for me. Anita has a golf show.
Anita has that. Yeah, I was about to say.
They give it to the experts. They deem me as the expert. They said, Rothenberg, do the hour hockey. I got you. They said, Anita, do the hour for golf. She's got that covered. So we have all the secondary sports covered in their own mini shows.
This is DCR.
Disgust me.
I know it does, which makes it even more terrific.
On 98.7 ESPN.
You're not going to start crying on us, are you?
Because of you. It's an emotional song for me. I don't know what it is.
Was this the song that made you weep on the Cross Bronx that
day? Weep. Weep. And there were real tears. Alligator tears. I had no idea what happened.
Could you imagine if I pulled up next to you on the Cross Bronx and I see somebody just weeping in their car?
Would that be the craziest thing you've seen on the Cross Bronx?
No, it wouldn't, but I feel like that would be a sign to get the hell away from that person. Exactly,
like,
driving.
Clearly that guy is unstable. Yeah. Weeping in your car on the side of the road, stuck in traffic.
I've seen a homeless guy pass out standing up on his feet on the Cross Bronx and fall into the highway.
Yeah, but that's expected. Turning to the car next to you and watching a grown man just like body shaking, weeping is unexpected.
There's a real strong possibility if you see me on the Cross Bronx, one of two things has happened. I'm either crying listening to Kelly Clarkson, or I'm in the process of peeing into a Poland Spring ball.
You don't miss the Cross Bronx, do you?
I hate the Cross. It's
the Cross Bronx is the seventh worst circle of hell. Like, yeah, it's the worst word in America.
And whoever decided that the 18-wheelers should come from the right and have to get all the way across the highway to the left to get on the George Washington.
You don't like
Brilliant.
That.
No, whoever that is, I need to speak with that person. It's the worst idea I've ever seen in my life.
That is the worst road I've ever been on because it's never a safe time. It could be 4 in the morning, 9 at night, midnight. You get on the Cross Bronx and you're like, oh God, please let this be okay. There's never a safe time on that road, ever.
I'm not even joking to you. When they asked us to do the 5 to 8, one of the selling points for them was, oh, listen, I mean, you're up so early, you won't hit any traffic. I promise you, the second we agreed to it, we'll do 5 to 8. For the next two straight weeks, the traffic report was something was happening on the Cross Bronx. Like, we got a water main break.
Well, that's right. There was the water main
break. Every single day.
Every day. There's always something on the Cross Bronx. It is the road from hell. All right. Time now for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. You know, guys, it's the same thing with the Knicks. They play well. They play hard. They get a lead late game. They just can't figure out a way to close it. I mean, game after game after game, it's the same script. It's the same story.
Yeah, they don't win close games.
No.
I mean, I was looking at a stat yesterday. They're 2-8 in games decided by 3 or less points. I mean, that's not getting it done. And they consistently in these games have leads. I mean, they had a 7-point lead in the fourth quarter, and they couldn't find a way to finish it off. And I get, like, listen, I understand, you know, Jason Tatum is between him and Jaylen Brown, they're two best players. So I understand, and you were having success. You caused a bunch of turnovers, like, you know, sending a double team on Jason Tatum was working.
Yep.
But in that situation, the way that Marcus Smart was playing in the fourth quarter.
Out of his mind.
And Jason Tatum is staring at Reggie Bullock. I'm not sure if that was the right time to send a double team and leave Marcus Smart wide open from three. Wide open. And why is RJ Barrett not getting, like what happened? He was lights out in the first half.
He was great.
And then all of a sudden, listen, Julius Randle was good in the third quarter, but we can't find a way to get RJ Barrett more involved since he couldn't miss. He didn't miss a shot from three yesterday.
No, he was perfect from three.
The lack of a point guard, it drives me
crazy. It kills them.
Crazy.
It kills them. I mean, do you take this as a positive, Chris, and say, you know what, they're competing against teams that are probably better than them? Or do you look at this as a negative that they just can't get over the hump and they're so close right now?
Well, here's the thing, Dave. It's not like the Boston Celtics are a team that the Knicks haven't been able to compete with and beat earlier in the season. I just feel like this is one of those situations where the intensity is ratcheting up. We're in the second half. Teams are trying to position themselves for the playoffs. and the Knicks are falling a little bit short, and it comes down to the same old things, late-game execution in the offense, and when they slow it down and when they've got to get a bucket in the half court because they don't have a point guard that can create shots for himself and set other guys up, it's always going to be a heavy lift, and that was the case again last night. So, I mean, the Knicks have got to be able to figure out a way to right the ship. I mean, they've lost five of their last six games. They're heading in the wrong direction. A couple of weeks ago, we're talking about this team being in the fourth spot. Now they're all the way down to eighth. So I just, you know, we were trying to see whether or not this team was going to be capable of hanging on in the second half and being in a real playoff series rather than have to be in the play-in games. But guys, I mean, now you have to start wondering whether or not the Knicks are going to be able to get into postseason at all.
Well, as far as top 10, I think they'll be top 10. But I'm resigned to the point that they're going to be between that 7 and 10. Like, I'm understanding that that's the positioning that they're going to be in, right?
Yeah.
You agree with that,
yeah.
Rick? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, this is how you feel. But again, I mean, you're in a situation now where you look at what this team is since Julius Randle hurt his thigh, and it hasn't been good. It hasn't been good. I mean, like Chris mentioned, they're 1-5 in their last six.
Yeah.
And Julius Randle doesn't look like he has, I don't know if he's tired, if he's worn down, if his thigh is still bothering him, but he's not.
Could be all of the above, right?
It probably is all of the above. But,
let me ask you a question, Dave and Rick. Yeah. I want to put this to you guys because you guys are Knicks fans. Would this season be a disappointment if the Knicks are 1-done in the play-in games?
No.
It wouldn't be?
Not for me, no.
Okay.
No. I mean, listen, Chris, the expectation was they were going to be
one of the worst teams in basketball, yeah.
That they were going to be a 22-24 win team. They're going to far surpass that. Now, I was hopeful, but ultimately, would it be a disappointment? No, I don't think so. If they have a good offseason and they come back and they have a point guard and they're a different-looking team next year, mm-hmm. I can deal with a one-and-done in the postseason this year.
No, but I think it'll be a missed opportunity.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Because, I mean, the East is bad.
That would be disappointing. I think it would be disappointing. But
I'm not a
Knicks fan.
Missed opportunity to do what? To just compete in a playoff series?
To get experience in a playoff series. Yeah, that's important. I mean, look how the Phoenix Suns have taken off after what they did in the bubble last year.
Well, it's two different things. Do I wish they would? Of course. I'd love for them to get the experience. Do I look at this as a tremendous disappointment? I don't. I mean, listen, they're not that talented. They're just not. When you look at them compared to these other teams, they're probably less talented than almost every team they play.
I don't think
Chris and I are disagreeing with you.
Yeah.
But I mean, I didn't think that the New York Giants, when they lost Saquon Barkley, were overly talented.
No.
But because the NFC East was so bad, you felt like you missed an opportunity.
100%. Now, after the Knicks, the way they started the first half of this season, to be in that kind of position and then to only have one game, well, it's not even, I guess they don't even count that as the playoffs, but to be in the play-in games and only play one game, and have those young guys on this team only have that one opportunity for that experience, I just feel like that would be coming up a little bit small when the Knicks had every opportunity in this second half to be able to make a push and to get into an actual playoff series.
Now, timeout. Now, if this happens where the Knicks do what the Rangers did, where they go into the bubble, Rangers were
he loves this, by the way. Oh, he is eating this up. Go ahead.
No, but what happened? Like, you were disappointed, then all of a sudden the lottery
terrible.
Happens and you get the first overall pick. So because you lose the one game, now you qualify to be in the lottery. If the Knicks went and played one game and lost, and all of a sudden the NBA does the right thing and gives them the first overall pick.
Man, that ain't going to happen, Rico. That ain't going to happen. That's pie in the sky.
What, do they have like a 3% chance to get the number one pick?
Yeah, that ain't going to happen.
You know that whole thing's fixed anyway. Stop yourself.
I hear what you're saying. That ain't going to happen.
Imagine that, though.
How great would that be?
Be awesome.
Kate Cunningham to the Knicks?
Jalen Suggs.
That'd be awesome.
But this is what you're seeing right now, Dave, is why I really felt like they should have made a move at the deadline.
Mm.
Because they kept going with this whole chemistry thing. You know what kills chemistry in a team? Losing close games like this.
Yep.
That's what kills team chemistry.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree. But you're torn. Do you really want to mortgage the future to make it better now? Where how far are you going to go? I'm okay with doing nothing, as long as they have a good offseason. You mentioned how frustrating is it to lose games like this now. Here's RJ Barrett. How frustrating is it to keep losing like this?
That's annoying, losing these two-point games. Just, you know, these little losses, they're kind of frustrating, kind of annoying. But it's the NBA, and we have another one on Friday, so just got to, you know, focus up and go grab that one.
R.J. Barrett had three shots. Dave, R.J. Barrett had three shots in the third quarter.
I know. And he was so good, too. He was great.
That's what I mean.
Night.
They need a guard. They need a point guard. They need someone to organize them. They do. I mean, in these close games. Even the Celtics were dealing with it yesterday with no Kemba Walker.
Uh-huh.
They struggle with a point guard.
He can't play back-to-back games? Oof.
Dude, his knee's bone on bone, man. When you start going, you hear someone's going to get stem cells in their knee?
Right.
But that's the beginning of the end.
That doesn't get better. I mean, that's going to progressively get worse for him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you don't even realize that. Like, when you're a player, like, you always see, like I was a perfect example of this. Like, you think ACL is, like, the worst thing that could happen to you in your entire life until you sit down with a doctor and he's like,
no.
Now, you probably would rather have the ACL because we can't, the whole cartilage thing, yeah, that doesn't
regrow.
Work out well.
Does
that
anything
grow back.
Make you, it does anything not grow make you back. Feel more uncomfortable than when Obi Toppin is going up for a three? You don't know if it's going to bank in. You don't know if it's going to hit the roof. You don't know if it's going to hit the side of the backboard. Like, that's an adventure like no other in the NBA.
Yeah, it's almost like the Mets bullpen.
Yeah, stop yourself.
Am I wrong? Where's the lie?
you see what he's deflecting.
No, I know.
Obviously,
not
what's happening with Judge is very upsetting to him, and he's going to take shots at the Mets bullpen.
No, that is you deflecting right there, throwing Aaron Judge back up in my face. That is deflecting.
Can't he? What he's going to do? He's going to fart then leave. Is what he's going to do? He's going to set this place on fire and then he's going to go over to KJZ. Is what he's going to do?
Oh yeah, you know I'm the king of the Irish goodbye. Come on, man.
That is 100% true. Every time I go with Canty, like he'll get to a point, and then you're like, where the hell did Canty go? Gone.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Canty is back.
Bye,
Canty
losers.
Is back at the
Bye.
House of the hotel chilling.
Yeah, you would not do well at Jewish events. The Jewish goodbye, 40 minutes. It's like you said goodbye. You're still here. Well, how are you still here? But it's like where did Canty go? He's gone. He said goodbye. He's gone. He's out.
But here's the thing I don't get, Dave. How can people not see a 6'8", 330-pound man leaving the building? How do you not notice me getting out of the room?
I don't get.
Because when we party, Canty, I've partied with you. You saw what happened to me on our way to Houston. You can't really, like at the time you're ready to leave, I can't even see at that point anyway.
That's a fair point. That is
I'm looking
point.
For my exit strategy.
Canty has moved on. Not in a negative way. It's not like he's moved on to a higher place. He's moved on to a different show. He's going to do Get Up this morning. At least I gave you the higher place.
Yeah, it sounds so dark when you say that, though. It sounds so dark. Like, I thought you were about to kill me off like you did Magic Johnson
no.
that one time.
I actually, like Charles Manson, I killed Magic Johnson.
No one had any idea that Magic was going to die.
It's terrible.
What was going through your mind when you said that,
I told you the story. Listen, we do radio, right? And you have producers that talk to you. I tell every producer I work with, and Chris, I don't know if you're able to do it. I tell the producers, I can't talk coherently on radio and have you talking to me in my ear. I can't do it. I'm not capable of it. And I was doing Stephen A's show up in Bristol, and the producer just starts going on and on and on. And I'm trying to talk, and I can't have my thoughts.
919-377-SIP.
Well, there's no reason for that. That had nothing to do with anything. But the producer's talking to me in my ear, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to talk something about it. Remember, it was the day that Magic just stepped down.
Yeah.
Remember, he had like that press conference, and he just decided, I'm done, and I'm retiring, and I'm done here. And I was trying to get into that, and the producer's just yammering on and on and on, and you heard the byproduct of it. That was the result.
Wow. The producer made you kill off Magic Johnson.
Yeah, he made me kill off one. Irvin Magic Johnson.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I forgot to tell you guys, you will be very proud of me. I actually finished something yesterday, which I told you I was going to finish probably about, I don't know, 8 months ago. You have any idea what I'm talking about?
Ozarks.
No clue.
Multiple cream
right.
cheeses? No, not multiple cream cheeses. Ozarks. You are correct.
What were your thoughts, Dave?
Let me ask you the question first, because I asked Canty the question, and you had no idea what we were talking about. You shut it down because you wouldn't watch it. How do you go into business? So when the woman goes to the mob to go see the son,
mm-hmm.
and she shoots the son's junk off.
Yeah.
Like, at that point, I got to cut ties. I can't do business with you anymore.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to have a relationship.
Kid.
Yeah.
I hated the kid, but still, like, if you're the dad, it's like, okay, I can't. I mean, you just shot my kid's junk off.
This person is completely unstable.
Yeah, but that's what these mafia guys can do. They have tunnel vision. They can look at money as the end game and look at that as more important than other things.
What did you think?
I don't know that any man looks at money more important than that.
Well, that's what that guy did. What did I think? The ending was disturbing, to say the least. I
mean, yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Disturbing. Just shocking, disturbing.
Yeah.
I think Jason Bateman is a great actor. He's one of the very few that has stood the test of time. Like, when he was a little kid, he was really good. Late, you know, like 20s, very good. Now he's very good. Like, he has been a great actor for a long time. Excellent.
Yeah, I love him. Like, I'm almost, I would say pretty much everything he's in, he cracks me up.
His sense
of humor is the best.
He's funny. He's serious. Like, he's a really good actor.
You didn't see that coming? You didn't think that was going to happen in the end? Did you think it was going to be them?
No,
no.
Well, it couldn't be them, because then I knew the show was coming back, and the show couldn't you know maintain without them being in it. But I didn't see that. Maybe I even saw that it was going that would happen, but I didn't see it like that happening. Just like boom, done, over.
Yeah.
Gray matter everywhere. Season, you know, fade to black.
It's a wrap.
It was like the opposite of The Sopranos.
We don't need you anymore. Thank you for your service.
Yeah.
God bless. Good night.
Yeah. And then he's hugging them. It's like, oh, God, this is uncomfortable. All right. Guests on DCR, PRV, the Goodyear Hotline. But I wasn't getting the reaction I was looking for. I thought you guys would be proud that I finally got that done.
It took you long enough, man.
I know.
I mean, I damn near forgot about all of it until Rick jogged my memory. Come on, man.
What should I do next? I'm a free agent now. I'm looking for shows.
Snowfall.
I'm not familiar with that. What is that about?
Snowfall on FX.
Snowfall on FX.
Get involved, yes.
Yeah?
Get involved.
What is that about?
It's about the CIA funneling drugs into South Central LA, and the guy that kind of becomes the version of Freeway Ricky Ross. Like, it's really, really good.
Snowfall.
Really, really good.
All right,
Snowfall.
Rick, you have a recommendation?
Yeah, I think you should watch Zero Chill on Netflix.
Snowfall, Zero Chill.
No, don't watch Zero Chill. I'm joking.
Why?
Because it's horrendous.
Oh.
Well,
why would you tell me a show that's awful?
Well, I thought it would be good for the kids. Because the kids have been excited to watch Mighty Ducks. And then there was this other show on Netflix, you know, twin brother and sister. She figure skates. He plays hockey. So, like, this is perfect. Ella loves to figure skate. Milo plays hockey. They'll love it. And then you watch it and realize the kid, I should have known from the beginning, where the kids, he's such a good hockey player in Canada, the birthplace of hockey, that he gets recruited to go to a team in the UK, which makes zero sense at all.
And he goes, and he plays.
And he goes, and it's
dominates.
It's an embarrassment. No, it's an embarrassment. Like, at one point during the show, the goalie sees his dad leave because the dad had just asked the older son to throw the game because apparently he bet money on the game. And the goalie sees him leaving, so midway through the game, the goalie sees it, then skates to the bench and takes his equipment off, and then goes chases after the dad.
So don't watch that.
No, it's ridiculous.
All right.
Can't skate. It's drives me crazy, that show.
You have issues with movies that aren't, like, realistic, huh?
No, all I ask is that just edit it. Like, if you have the kid, if the kid is a right-handed shot, when you go to show him score a goal, don't have him be a left-handed shot.
You know what? The one, and I know I mentioned this before, Friday Night Lights. I want to have a nervous breakdown when I watch the football scenes of Friday Night Lights. Chris, I can't believe you don't like start having seizures. It's 1st and 10 from the 27. The announcer's like, they picked up 18. And now it's 1st and 10 from the 29. It's like, what?
Yeah,
how?
Not great. It's not great.
How did you do this?
It's not great.
Did they not talk to anybody that knew anything about the game of football when they filmed this movie? And it's such a good movie. And the football scenes are so bad.
Yeah, Dave, we're not going to let details hold up how we want to tell the story. Forget about whether or not it makes sense on a football field.
It bothers me. It strangely bothers me.
Yeah.
Every time I watch, I'm like, how is it possible? They were at the 44. They picked up 17 yards. Now they're at the 39. Please, someone explain how that's humanly possible to me. All right. I apologize. Let's get to a call or two, and then we'll get into the Nets. Let's go. Remember, Rick, you got to greet them. Spike in Florida. Spike, you're next up on 98.7.
Good greeting, my friends. I appreciate
Spike, what's going on, buddy?
Let's get to Ozarks for a second. One of my all-time favorite characters is Darlene. The way she offed Jacob with the apple seeds was also great. But you have to understand, first of all, you're right, Jason Bateman's been good for a long time, and
he's
so
great.
Is the, what's the lead lady's name? I forget.
Laura Linney.
Yeah, Laura Linney. Terrific actress also. Great series, and it's coming back. So I wouldn't, if I'm doing business with Darlene, I keep my distance. That's the warning. Great
now
show.
She's having
really
an affair with the Langhorn child. No,
yeah,
the whole thing is.
Yeah, Darlene is a disgusting character.
She terrifies
disgusting
me. She really terrifies me.
That's why she's so good, and that's why it's so well written. It really flowed well. Glad you finished it. The Knicks, first of all, everyone lost yesterday. All right, it's going to happen. Baseball's a long season. But, you know, I love Thibodeau. I absolutely love the way he, and they say he wears out his offensive skills. Remember when D'Antoni was the coach of the Knicks and they brought Mike Woodson in for defense, like a defensive coordinator? They need someone to set something up because it's getting really old. And I'll give all the props in the world to Julius Randle. He's had a fantastic year, but he's either hurt or he's off. You can't keep throwing the ball into him unless he's like a pivot guy where they cut off of him and you have Brooks on one side and Bullock on the other. It gets old. They should have won that game. They've 5 games I counted, boys. 5 games they lost in the next or last possession of the game. It makes a big difference. How do you guys feel?
Well, especially when you have these leads, I think we feel the same. And I just yesterday frustrated me a little bit because Julius Randle wasn't very good in the first half, and he got it going in the third quarter. But I mean, your best player in the first half of that game was R.J. Barrett.
It wasn't even close.
It wasn't even close. And then you get into the second half, and it's like, where the hell did R.J. Barrett go? Like he's like we like at a certain point, I get, you know, you have to facilitate for your best player, but I mean, you got to realize like who's hot and who's not. Like you got to ride R.J. Barrett as long as you can ride him. Like let's continue to have him keep going. If he can carry us, let him carry us. It doesn't have to always fall on Julius Randle. But they're asking guys to do things that they're not great at. Like to have R.J. Barrett handle the ball as much as he handles the ball.
He's going to turn the ball over. Ball handler by
no,
any
he's
stretch.
Not. No, he's going to turn the ball over. Like Julius Randle's going to turn the ball over. Like you need somebody like Chris brought up Phoenix, which I think is a perfect example. Phoenix has a ton of talent. But Phoenix had no idea what to do with their talent until Chris Paul showed up.
Yeah,
yep,
he
organized all of it. Yep.
That's what you need.
Hell
right
of
now.
A game last night, by the way.
That
big
was
win
a good
for them.
Game.
Yeah, great win for them.
I mean, they're a good team.
Very good. I mean, those are the two best teams in the Western Conference right now. Bloodline, someone is tweeting me. It's a very, very good show. I'm not familiar with that either.
I see Bloodlines.
And?
I think I watched the first season of Bloodlines, yeah.
Good?
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, but I have like great shows that I've never watched.
Have you seen Breaking Bad yet?
I never seen Breaking Bad.
Oh, you got to start that. Have you seen Sons of Anarchy?
No.
Oh,
never seen Sons of Anarchy. I've never seen what's
the one
Wire? With Kevin Spacey? Which The Wire? I'm like halfway through the one with Kevin Spacey. I don't love The Wire. I know people love it. I'm not in love with that show right now.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, right. I'm like midway through season two, and it's.
Are you talking about House of Cards?
The House of Cards is that's the political show.
Yeah,
that's with Kevin Spacey. Yeah,
yeah. I haven't seen that one.
You got to see. You got to see Breaking Bad, dude. You have to.
That's
where
I should go next.
You got to watch that one. Yeah,
Breaking Bad is awesome. Sons of Anarchy is awesome too. I really like Sons of Anarchy. You know who loves Sons of Anarchy?
Don.
It was Mitchie, Chris Mitchell.
Really?
There he get like he's crying. Like there was an episode in Sons of Anarchy the next day. He couldn't even like we barely got through the show the next day. He was so broken up.
He's like, I can't believe they would do that to that character.
Oh, he was a mess.
Really. I love when people take shows so seriously that it affects them the next day.
Well, you heard Canty. Like, I swear to God, if Canty saw From Your Honor, if he saw the son on the street who's acting a part, I think Canty would have tried to fight him because he hated him.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a problem. On site. I might throw a punch. That's how much I hated that character.
That was a terrible ending to a show, too, by the way.
No, he deserved it.
Awful.
He deserved it.
Oh, no, it was awful. It was awful. He's great, by the way. Bryan Cranston is great.
But that's why I'm telling you,
didn't he produce that show too?
Yeah.
Didn't he produce it too?
Yeah.
I mean, that was great.
He's a great actor.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
David Quinn back in the mix at 7:30 this morning. I mean, we'll hear from Kevin Durant in a moment. Chris, what do you say about the Nets? They are sensational, and they're fun to watch, aren't they?
Yeah, Dave, I don't know how you stop this team when they're going to be at full strength. Like, I just can't imagine James Harden being a part of that mix with Kyrie, KD, and all the role players, how those guys have come along for this Nets squad. I mean, yesterday, the way they shared the basketball, the way they were able to get open looks, and then just seeing how sharp Kevin Durant was. I mean, Dave, he had 17 points in 19 minutes coming off the bench. Like, the guy was phenomenal. Like, he didn't look like a guy that had missed almost a couple of months of basketball. But, I mean, that's just attributed to how good of a player he is. But also, when you just look at this Nets team, I don't know if there's any team in the Eastern Conference that can even make it a series against these guys if they're going to be at full strength.
Kevin Durant hasn't played since February 13th.
Correct.
He did miss a shot.
Nope. What was he, 5 for 5 yesterday?
Yeah, 5 for 5 and made all his free throws.
Mm-hmm.
That means the most efficient scorer in the NBA.
Yeah.
And I don't even think it's a question.
No, they are sensational. And they haven't been full strength in months and months. Here's Durant. Were you surprised at how well you played last night?
I expected to come out here and play the way I played. I wasn't trying to ease into the game. I just wanted to go out there and dive right into the action. I mean, the game was already fast-paced already, so from watching it from the bench, I knew exactly how I needed to approach it. So, but it was pretty cool coming off the bench, I can't lie. But it was also good to play in front of the fans as well.
I mean, guys, they scored 140 points. They're playing with, I mean, Rick thinks the MVP of the league, and they put up 140 points last night.
I'll tell you this much, and I know that James Harden was doing his thing ever since he got traded from the Rockets, but people aren't appreciating what Kyrie Irving is doing right now. Like, I know that he's a bit of a head case, but the reason why you put up with all that nonsense is because he's capable of doing what he did last night in the game prior when he dropped 40. Like, Kyrie Irving feels like he's one of those guys that's at the height of his powers in the NBA. Like, he's the best ball handler on the planet, but just the guy can score at will. He can get any shot he wants on the basketball court. And when you have that with a Kevin Durant and then potentially James Harden when he gets healthy past his hamstring thing, guys, I don't know how you stop him. You're talking about having 3 of the top 10 players in the world.
You don't. I think the answer is you don't. Here's Tim Legler saying just that on SportsCenter yesterday.
It's just scary to think about what this team can look like once they finally do get all three guys out there and they find a rhythm together. Because individually, you know, there's never been a team that's had this kind of raw scoring power at the top of their roster that's ever been constructed. And now Kevin Durant is reminding you what that's going to look like.
And we could sit here and we can break it down of, you know, do you put Jeff Green or Claxton, or how much time does Blake Griffin or Aldridge get?
It doesn't matter.
They're going to, I'm sorry, there is no way if they're healthy they're not going at least to the NBA Finals, at a minimum to the NBA Finals.
Dave, I think there's only one team that can keep the Brooklyn Nets from winning a championship this year.
I agree.
If there's health, and that's the Los Angeles Lakers.
Maybe,
and that's only because, Dave, that's only because they have LeBron James. That's it. That's only because they have LeBron.
And you don't feel confident about that.
Hell no, Dave. I'm a Lakers fan. I'm a Lakers fan, and I'm sitting there like, I don't even know if they can do it. As good as the Lakers are defensively, I don't even know if they're capable of doing it. This Nets team is really, really good, man. It's really, really good.
Like, but here's the thing, though, too. You see when they're locked in. Like, the New Orleans Pelicans are one of the worst defensive teams in the NBA. And, you know, coming in on a back-to-back, they weren't great defensively. But you saw the 37 assists. When they're focused, when they're locked in, they're moving the ball the way they move that ball. And to Legler's point, you had Harden on the bench with cargo shorts on, you know, just hanging out. I mean, I have the bet with you in the MVP.
Are you ready to wave the white flag on that, by the way?
Doesn't feel great. I refuse to wave the white flag, but doesn't feel great. But just look at this. Forget the top of the roster, how great that is. Look at the roster, period.
Yeah.
I mean, what? There is no team even close to as deep, top to bottom, in the NBA.
I'm talking about Aldridge and Griffin and Brown and Claxton. And I mean, it goes on. I mean, Tyler Johnson goes on. And this is without Dinwiddie.
Yeah, but I mean, even Chris Chioza is a good little player.
Oh,
Bruce Brown's turned himself into a good player.
So many guys on this team.
Blake Griffin's dunking again.
that was a nasty dunk he had last night.
Was.
Nasty.
It was.
Yeah.
They're so good. It's crazy. I think they're good for the NBA. I do. I think Lakers Nets will be. That's the finals we have to get. If we get anything besides the Lakers and Nets, I think we'll all be severely disappointed.
Well, so far, I mean, the championship games, we're trending in that right direction, right? I mean, the Super Bowl we wanted was Tampa Bay, Kansas City. We got that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. National championship game we wanted was Gonzaga Baylor. We got that.
Yeah, but they were terrible. Both those games were awful.
No, I know, but that's what you were hoping to see. And I mean, if you're just a basketball fan in general, I don't know how you would want to see the Lakers, a fully healthy Lakers team against a fully healthy Nets team in the finals would be awesome.
Which team do you think people would look at as the villain?
The Nets.
The Nets.
The Nets, right?
The Nets,
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know how you wouldn't. I mean, this team is,
They're easy to hate.
But there's a lot of LeBron hatred as well. So I'm just wondering which team people would look at as the villain.
Is the LeBron hatred still a real thing? Is it?
I don't know.
More so than how James Harden shot his way out of Houston or Kyrie Irving
to begin with.
And that's what I'm saying. And then Kevin Durant leaving right. Golden. Like I don't know, Dave.
No, I agree with you. I think this could be the first time that LeBron in a finals is not like the villain, which I think will be an interesting dynamic.
I didn't think he was the villain last year, though, Dave.
I don't think he's been the villain. I mean, when he went back to Cleveland, I don't think he was the villain.
Yeah,
I guess that's a fair point. Last year, I don't think there was a villain, but I don't know. For a lot of his career, it's felt like that people have rooted against him. And like,
I would agree with
the
that.
Other team, and you say, well, I want to see that other team win because LeBron went to Miami, and then LeBron goes here, and he's not Michael, and there's just this unhealthy dislike for him. I think he would be rooted for in the finals if they played the Nets.
Yeah, but I think him winning championships with three different organizations is kind of, you know, even the haters have got to admit, like LeBron James. If he's not the best player to ever play the game, he's right in that same room with Michael Jordan, and there's nobody else in there. Like, I think everybody has to admit that now. So I don't think there's a whole lot of LeBron hate, but, I mean, this Nets team is easy to hate. And the fact that they're so good, Dave, I think you'll actually have a lot of people locking in to root against them.
Yeah, I think so, too, which I think makes for an interesting and fun dynamic surrounding the NBA Finals. Marco in Brooklyn. Good morning, Marco. You're on 98.7.
Hey, guys. Do you think it's fair to say that when it's all said and done in KD's career, if he wins four or five championships, he'll never be in the same room as LeBron and Jordan because of how easy of a path he's had to the finals?
No, I mean, listen, that same argument was made for, I mean, that same argument was made against LeBron James.
Yep.
Like, yeah, he plays in the East, he's nowhere close to the Warriors team or this next team.
But
but that was the argument, though, Marco. Go back and remember, people that wanted to make the argument that Michael Jordan was better would always say that LeBron James had an easier path to the finals because he was playing in the East.
Right.
Then all of a sudden
that he left his team and Michael never left his team was a big one, too.
Well, that he hasn't lost in the finals, and then he goes all of a sudden to the West, and now once LeBron gets to the West, everyone's trying to get the hell out of the West and get to the East.
Isn't it amazing that losing in a championship is like the worst thing you could ever do?
It's the most ridiculous argument.
It almost feels like you'd rather go 7-9 in the NFL than go and lose in the Super Bowl, right?
It's the dumbest argument you could ever. It's better that you lose in the, like, it was like the whole Tom Brady thing, too. Well, you know, Joe Montana never lost. He was 4-4. Well, what's better, losing in the AFC Championship game or actually getting to the Super Bowl and giving yourself a chance to win another Super Bowl? I don't understand.
Yeah. But as a player, I don't even want to get to the Super Bowl. if I'm not going to win it, I don't want
to. So you would prefer to lose in the NFC Championship game than lose in the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Yeah. See, as a fan, I kind of agree with that.
Yeah.
But I don't understand why we look at it like in the history of the sport and it's a negative. Well, I mean, Tom Brady has lost in Super Bowls and Joe Montana never has. He made it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's ridiculous to have that kind of take, Dave. I completely disagree with that. The fact that Tom Brady has played in as many Super Bowls as he has, I mean, it's unbelievable. Would the guy play in 10 Super Bowls? 10 Super Bowls, Dave. And won 7 of them.
Tom Brady and LeBron James are two of the greatest dynasties of all time.
Yes. Forget about the teams they played for.
No, them
in and of themselves are dynasties.
Hasn't LeBron by himself been to more finals than every team but I think 3 or 4.
Dave, there was a point where LeBron James every single year was in the finals.
Yeah. What was it, 8 straight years or something like that?
It's crazy.
I think it was 8, then he did 8, then he went to the Lakers, they didn't make the playoffs, he got hurt. Mm-hmm. And then the following year they win the championship.
it really is remarkable. All right, so I don't know what we're supposed to do, Rick. I don't know if we're supposed to just Canty vanishes because we did that yesterday and it felt weird, or if we're supposed to say goodbye. But Ted, I'm going to take the different route. I'm going to say goodbye. So Chris, we will talk to you tomorrow morning. Do great on KJZ.
Appreciate it, you guys. Knock it out of the park for the last hour.
Bye, losers. Bye.
No, I love you guys. I wouldn't say that to you.
Nice.
That's only reserved for the Patriots.
Okay, there you go. All right, are you ready for your segment? You're all dialed in here?
Well, yeah, but it's not my, it's our segment. It's a show segment.
Well, but it's your baby.
Oh, it's my baby, but I've put it up for adoption, and Ray Santiago has adopted it.
Put it up for adoption?
Yes.
What kind of parent are you?
Well, Ray doesn't have a segment, and I felt like this segment could get more attention with Raymond.
Okay. Well, let's see if that, in fact, is the case, and let's let Raymond run point on observations.
Rick DiPietro consumes more media than anyone on this planet.
Great point, Rick. It's another genius point by you.
And these are his knobservations.
We could have called it Rick's observations, but, you know, it's Rick we're dealing with here.
Yeah, let's go testy and then knob.
Here's your host, Rick DiPietro.
Well, I'd like to think of myself more as a babysitter than actually adopting, you know.
I don't think you're ready for children. We've signed the papers.
I'm just watching the kids for a night while you and Cassie go enjoy yourselves.
But they don't. That's the problem. They won't enjoy themselves. He'll say he's got to go to bed and you'll have taken over for absolutely no reason.
No, I think Rick has a lot to make up for, as we have stated.
I made up for it yesterday. I told you that. You know what?
You got more work to do.
It's going to take longer than a day, unfortunately.
Yeah,
I feel.
He's right.
Guys, I'm going to start on the island. I know we dedicated our, 30 seconds early in the show, but we do got to give a little bit of credit to the Islanders for pulling off that trade for Cal Palmieri, Travis Zajac. Only giving them a first rounder, a conditional fourth, and they get the Devils to retain 50% of the salaries in that trade. I mean, I don't know how Lou Lamoriello does this. But the guy must have pictures of somebody, or he makes threats, or the guy gets things done.
He's
wherever
in the mob.
He goes.
I think he's in the mob.
I should probably stop talking because Lou Lamoriello might come for me if I keep this up. But
so now what are you doing? You're making the Devils the knob here? Is that what you're doing?
Is there a way that I couldn't? I mean, Islanders make out like bandits here. They needed to make a replacement for Anders Lee. They get their guy. The Islanders look primed for a cup run now.
Oh God.
Take that, Dave.
I mean, it looks pretty good.
Eastern Conference Finals to the Stanley Cup now, baby.
I will be beside myself.
You'll have to talk about it. This is the best part of you on a hockey show. You'll have to talk about the Islanders.
Oh, God. If you said to me right now, pay me $1,000 in cash and the Islanders do not win the cup and you don't even have to sweat it, I would do it.
Yeah, but why? You know I love the Islanders. You can't just do me a solid?
No. No. I'd love for your Mets to win. I'd love for your Knicks to win.
That's because it's your Mets.
I wouldn't even mind if the Jets won. If the Jets won for you, that would make you happy. That's fine. I detest the Islanders. I don't want to see the Islanders
win. Which makes no sense because you grew up on Long Island.
But that's how it is. Whether it makes sense or not, that's how it is. Okay? It doesn't make sense to me that you're not a Red Sox fan, but you're not. And I respect it, and I know that you root for the Mets, so that's great.
I barely spent any time in Boston.
You grew up in Boston.
No, I spent like 5 years in Boston.
So?
So?
You should still be a Red Sox fan.
I spent more time here than I was in Boston.
Yeah, but people don't make their team allegiances when they're in their 20s. It's weird.
It's not weird. Athletes have a different kind of fandom than...
Well, it makes no sense.
Boston resident, Harvard alum, Rick DiPietro.
Exactly right. Thank you. Thank you, Raymond.
Continue along, Rick.
Going to stay in the NHL, go to the other coast, and this is not as nice a story. Kind of scary, actually. The Vancouver Canucks have 21 players that have tested positive for a... Looks like a different variant of coronavirus. Actually, 25 players and coaches. The team said Wednesday it's 21 players, 3 from the taxi squad, and 4 members of the coaching staff tested positive. Ugh. One other player considered a close contact. All players and staff are in quarantine. 19 of 22 on Vancouver's active roster were listed on the protocol list as of yesterday. So the Canucks are probably going to be sidelined for a while. This is kind of scary, and you know, just a reminder that this thing, you know, we were headed in the right direction, but this thing is not gone yet, and it's still having an impact on sports.
A huge impact, and we are headed in the right direction, and things are looking better. But when you hear about this, it hammers home the point that we are not done, and it's terrifying. And I heard these guys are getting really sick, and I guess, and these are athletes, these are guys in prime physical condition that are really sick, and I guess there's a ton of. Of purging, to say it nicely, and a lot of IVs are going on there, and it's certainly very concerning.
Well, what makes it even scarier is, I mean, all the precautions that they're taking, all the amount of testing that these teams are doing to make sure it doesn't spread the way that it spread. I mean, it doesn't spread, period. Like, they can isolate whoever it is, or, you know, the couple players, and then, you know, keep it away from the rest of the team. The fact that it went through the team the way it went through the team is, yeah, that's scary.
It's terrifying.
Guys, did you get a view of Tom Brady on Good Morning America yesterday?
I did not see it, no.
Okay, well, he made his appearance. It was actually taped and aired yesterday morning, but there were a couple things that Tom Brady said that were kind of interesting. I'll play with this short clip first. He's asked if he still has something to prove.
I don't think proving it for me is the motivation. Like, I still want to play. You know, I got like a little sickness in me that just wants to throw a freaking spiral, you know what I mean? Also about football, once you stop, you can't go back and do it. I got some more football in me, not a lot. And I know that, but what I got left, I'm gonna give everything I got.
Sounds like more Super Bowls could be on the horizon for Tom. Terrific, Tampa Bay, whatever you want to call it. Another quote that kind of stood out to me, he talked about winning in a way that wasn't the Patriot way. And I'm going to quote him here instead of play the soundbite. But when you're in one place for 20 years, you think that's the only way. And I think when you go to a different place, you realize, wow, there's another way that people do things. He later added, I was the new guy for the first time, you know, and that was a really different experience.
Yeah, but the way he did in New England programmed him to be the player that he is now. And yes, how he learned to win championships in New England clearly benefited Tampa.
And I'm sure he took a lot of that with him to Tampa.
Well, how he prepares for games, how he interacts with his teammates, the kind of leadership he shows. We've seen it. Like, that's he learned that in New England.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a different way because Bruce Arians is a different kind of coach, and things aren't as strict as they were in New England. But he's already been programmed by Bill Belichick.
Can I bring up a point? And I know you're going to get upset with me, but I find it necessary to bring this up.
Yep.
What exactly is happening to the segment? Like, is it no longer Nobservations? Are we just going to say like fun stories that we'd like to get into, which I'm fine with? But then I'd like to rename the segment because these are not Nobservations.
I was told
I have something on deck for you that you may like.
Well, listen, I'm fine. I don't mean to criticize. I think you're doing a great job. I'm just confused at the direction we're going in with this segment. Because if it's Nobservations, I'm confused at how these in fact are Nobservations. If it's just interesting stories that we're going to discuss, then that's fine. Then I'll wrap my arms around that.
Well, here's the thing: in order to do a segment every single week, you're hard pressed to find that many observations. This isn't like the segments that you come up to where you just have people call in and ask you questions, which you could do every day.
Oh, so this is much more difficult than when I do. See, I make sure to take no shots at anybody. I'm just
this takes
posing
work.
A question, and now I get attacked by you.
See, this is an observation in and of itself, because instead of taking time and laughing at those things that we could be laughing at right now, you're taking time to criticize the segment.
I'm not criticizing. See, you're taking, here's the problem. You guys are very sensitive. All I'm doing is raising, I think, a very legitimate question, and you guys are taking it like I'm attacking you. I'm attacking nobody. I'm asking a question.
Dave, you watched NFL Network this past week?
Yeah, bits and pieces, sure.
Okay, we kind of teased this the other day, but there was a little interaction between Mike Garofalo and Ian Rappaport, and this was prior to the Sam Darnold trade, so point this out, but give a listen. This was kind of entertaining.
What the Jets could also do, by the way, is make a move on him after the draft. Not like they have to do it before the draft, because we saw the Cardinals do that with Josh Rosen, or at least after the first round.
This kind of reminds me, as we're talking about this, and we did the same last hour, and it kind of got me thinking over the last 60 minutes or so. It reminds me of when Josh Rosen was about to be traded from the Arizona Cardinals, and they were saying, you know what, we could just keep Josh Rosen, have him and Kyler Murray compete and see what happens. Mike, why is Mike making that face? I can see him
making a face.
I'm
Wait like, a make second. That face.
I'm going to
Go ahead.
Stop the show right now. We're stopping the show. Did he just say that he started thinking about this over the last hour and it reminded him of the Jets? I said that. That was what I said the first hour. You're going to act like you're just sitting there and it was your own original idea that came to your head? It's literally what I said the first hour. Wow. And then he steals
that.
It from me in case I wanted to go back there again. For those just joining us, where have you been? Apparently Ian wasn't with us the first hour either.
For all of those who have asked me what's it like to work with Ian Rappaport, and frankly, it's been nobody ever. This is what it's like to work.
No one's asked you that?
Never. Never. But when they do,
wow.
At least I have something tangible to really kind of paint the perfect.
I'm hoping that awesome. I'm hoping that satisfied your appetite for an observation.
I love that. See, that's what I'm looking for. That is great. He just repeats the exact same thing that Garofalo said in the first hour as his own.
Well, the best part of that whole thing is, and I heard that, I'm the one that brought that to Ray and RJ.
Don't look at you,
is
begging for attention.
Well, no, I'm not begging for attention, but when you watch the clip, it's hilarious, too, because you can see, like, Garofalo is losing his mind. But the best part of that entire thing is when Rappaport says, over the last 16 minutes, I've been thinking about it.
Extremely specific.
I love that. He says verbatim when Garofalo.
No, I had this very specific thought in this very specific time frame.
Oh, that is
You
so
may
terrific.
Or may not have thought of it. But here we go.
Oh, that's so good.
All right, now for the real star of the segment.
A man's naked behavior outside of his South Florida home, all caught on camera.
Caught on camera in Florida.
Did it happen in Florida?
That was a man in swim trunks who appeared to fall out of the sky.
The man was arrested for riding his bicycle on the front lawn of a Naples home and telling a woman inside he was an FBI agent.
What's the deal, man? Why are you naked?
All right, probably time to
this
play.
This probably turned into a Did It Happen in Canada segment. We've changed it on the fly, but go ahead.
Wow. Sensitive on this end, you say. Okay, this is the problem with hiring subcontractors. Six people have been jailed after they each hired another person to be a hitman to carry out a murder that was never committed. A real estate developer hired a hitman to kill a business rival. However, the hitman then subcontracted the work to another hitman who passed it on to another hitman who apparently gave it to another hitman who employed another hitman who in turn engaged yet another hitman. But instead of carrying out the hit, the final man met the ultimate intended victim and offered to help him fake his own death. All six men were convicted of intentional homicide and given prison sentences of up to 5 years. Did this happen in Florida?
That's a great story. No. And in fact, I would go as far as saying, yeah, I'm going to say that's not a story that took place in this country.
I don't really understand the story, though. I mean, if you go find, like, you seek out a hitman, is it you're not paying enough? Like, I don't understand why the hitman wouldn't just take the job. Was he too busy?
Well, no. Maybe that hitman doesn't want to do it, and he says, let me hire another hitman to take care of business.
Well, what kind of hitman are you?
Exactly right. But then that hitman also sucks at his job, so he's going to hire another hitman?
Right.
Maybe five
you're like,
times.
Listen, I can get $50,000 for the hit. I can hire someone for $25,000, so I'm making $25,000, and my hands are clean here. I mean, there you have it.
Well, I'm not like you clean because everyone got arrested.
Wait, do you have experience in this sort of thing? You look for discounts on hitmen?
Well, no. I don't have any experience, but I think it's fascinating, and I think it's not in Florida.
All right, I agree with Dave. Not Florida.
Longchi, I hope I said that right, China. So
I'm right.
Not Florida.
All right.
I've got another one if you want to give that one a shot.
Yes, please.
If we want, please.
A man returned from shopping last week and found 15,000 bees in his car. He went shopping at a grocery store and came back to find his car overrun by a swarm of bees after he left his window down. He called the fire department. As luck would have it, one of the firemen is a beekeeper in his spare time and was called upon to come to the rescue. The funny thing is that the victim, I guess victim you would call him in this case, he actually got in the car and drove it for a little while before he realized that he had this swarm of bees in his backseat.
So how is that possible? How could you have 15,000 bees buzzing in your backseat, you get into the car, and you drive away?
I don't know how that would be possible if you had that many bees. Don't hear them in there, too? Like, while you're driving, you can't hear the buzzing of the bees in your car?
This is a quote from the story. Firefighters learned the owner of the car returned from shopping, placed groceries in the vehicle, and started to drive off before noticing the swarm in the back seat.
Oh, my God. 15th. Do we know, and we got to break it a second, do we know why the bees went into the car? Was there something?
Bees swarm really quick like that. You know, they're like a queen could just go somewhere and the swarm just follows,
everybody
right?
Follows. I'm going to say not Florida.
I wonder how many times he gets stung, because then you got to pee on him if he gets stung that many times.
Yeah, I'm sure he's peeing all over himself. What do you say?
I will.
Ooh, this is a tough one.
Bees in Florida. I'll agree with Dave. No, not Florida.
Las Cruces, New Mexico.
Nice. Nice job, boys. 2-0 for me. 2-0 for me. Well done, Raymond. Really well done. Even though it's turned into a different segment.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.